Welcome to A Contra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of A Contra AI.
Welcome, everyone. Today, we're doing another deep dive, stepping into, well, a really vivid world, early 20th century rural Bengal.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting into Bibhudabhushan Bandi Bahati's incredible masterpiece, Pather Panchali, which beautifully translates as Song of the Road.
It really does capture it.
Bandyopadhyay, writing during that vibrant Bengali Renaissance, roughly 1894 to 1950, he wasn't just spinning tales. He was like an alchemist of the ordinary.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, he had this amazing knack for finding the profound in just, well, everyday village life. The quiet struggles, the dignity.
Grounded in that specific place, Bengal.
Exactly. So our mission today really is to explore how this novel, through the lens of one struggling family, gives us these incredible insights into human resilience, childhood wonder.
And just the relentless flow of life, right? The ups and the downs.
Precisely. The heartbreaking parts, but also the hopeful ones. It's quite an invitation the book offers, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, for so many people, Pather Panchali immediately brings Satyajit Ray's film to mind.
Of course. The iconic film.
Yeah, the first part of his Apu trilogy. That film really brought Bandyopadhyay's humanist story to, well, the whole world.
It put it on the map globally.
It did. And at its core, the novel pulls us into the Roy family's daily struggle. It's almost this epic battle against poverty in their village, Nishindapur.
Fictional, but feels so real.
But completely real.
Yeah.
But what makes it special, I think, is that we see it, all the despair, the little joys, mostly through the eyes of the children, Apu and Durga.
Innocent eyes, but learning fast.
Exactly. And it forces you, the reader, to ask that fundamental question. When life is just relentless scarcity and loss, how do you find wonder? How do you find joy? Meaning, can you?
That's the core of it, isn't it? So, okay, let's unpack this family, these individuals. How do their struggles, their dreams weave together?
Yeah.
What's amazing is how each one, even stuck in their own circumstances, tells this bigger story about being human.
Precisely. Let's start with Apu Roy.
Hmm.
He's our guide, really, our emotional compass into this world.
He's the window.
He is.
Yeah.
He started out just so curious, so sensitive,
yeah,
fascinated by everything, you know, the smoke from a distant train, stories from the elders,
right,
nature.
Takes it all in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his journey is the novel's main path. He goes from this pure, innocent way of seeing things to a deeper, maybe more somber understanding. Grief shapes him.
Yeah.
Innocence gets chipped away.
Slowly.
But somehow, he learns to hold both beauty and sorrow together. He never quite loses that capacity for awe, which is remarkable.
And Durga, his sister, she's such a contrast. So vibrant, almost wild.
Oh, Durga. Yeah, she's pure energy. A force of nature.
Spirited.
Totally. Spirited, mischievous, fiercely independent. A real child of the earth, you could say. And what drives her is this simple, almost desperate longing for small pleasures.
Things they can't afford.
Exactly. Like a new sari. Or stealing some fruit from a neighbor's tree. Her desires are so basic, so honest.
And tragically.
Tragically, her story gets cut short. She becomes this symbol of unfulfilled dreams, really. She stays a child forever in memory. It's a haunting.
And that shapes Apu profoundly.
Absolutely. Their bond, sharing secrets, adventures, looking out for each other. That's the beating heart of the novel, no question.
Then there's the mother, Sarbachaya. Wow. She carries the weight of the world, doesn't she?
She really does. Sarbachaya is, well, she has to be pragmatic, fiercely protective.
And you feel her love for the kids, but also this constant anxiety.
Yeah, it's a war inside her.
Yeah.
Love versus the bitterness, the resentment that comes from just grinding poverty. It's like you said in the outline, poverty is like a fever.
It burns everything.
It does. It hardens her, makes her seem harsh, cruel sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath, it's desperation, fear.
It's trying to keep them alive.
Right. Her journey is just... Yeah. Watching hardship wear her down. It shows the sacrifices mothers make.
And the father, Hari Har Roy, he seems almost disconnected from that harsh reality sometimes. More contemplative.
He's the gentle opposite, yeah. Hari Har is the dreamer. A kind priest, you know, more comfortable with books and thoughts than, well, making ends meet.
His optimism. It's touching, but...
But it's dangerous too, right?
Yeah.
It sustains them in a way, but it also risks everything. He's always got these schemes that... Promise the world, but deliver little.
Heartbreaking failures.
It is. He slowly, painfully realizes his limits. But he tries to hold on to his hope, his humanity, even as things fall apart. It's that classic conflict. aspiration versus reality.
Yeah, we can't forget Inder Sakharin, the old aunt. She's such a memorable character.
Oh, Indir. Yeah. The aged relative. Cantankerous, sure, but lovable too.
She's like a living piece of the past.
Exactly. And she has this lovely bond with Apu and Durga, tells them old stories, keeps that cultural memory alive.
But she's also a burden, realistically.
She is. Her physical needs strain their tiny resources. It really highlights the complexities of aging, dependency, family responsibility when everyone's struggling. It's a tough balance.
One of the really interesting things about the book is how the story unfolds. It's not your typical plot, is it? With a clear rising action climax.
No, you've really hit on something key there. It flows more like life itself. Like a river, maybe.
Yeah, winding.
Right. It starts with that opening movement, just setting the scene. The Roy family, their poverty, the dilapidated house. You immediately feel that tension between Sarvajaya's worry and Harihar's. Well, his impractical hopefulness.
And Indir is right there in the mix.
Mm-hmm. Often clashing with Sarvajaya over food, over space. And this part ends with that really difficult moment. Sarvajaya kicking Indir out.
Born of desperation.
Pure desperation. And then Indir's lonely death out in the wilderness. It's quiet, but it's the first major tragedy. Kind of foreshadows what's to come.
Sets a heavy tone early on. But then the focus shifts beautifully to the children, doesn't it?
It does. It moves into the world of Apu and Durga. Especially as Apu grows. We see their bond, their shared world of imagination.
Finding magic in the mundane.
Exactly. Despite the poverty, the bamboo groves, the ruins, they become their kingdom. And then there's that recurring sound.
To train whistle.
Yes, that distant train whistle. Such a powerful symbol, calling them from beyond the hills, promising something else, a bigger world.
Journeys they might never take.
Right. And that secret trip they take, just to finally see the train. It's a moment of just pure, dazzling joy, a connection to the unknown future. Unforgettable.
But that childhood bubble, it's so fragile. The real world keeps intruding. The money problems.
Inevitably, yeah. Then we get into that period where economic pressures intensify. Harihar's away more, searching for work, his schemes failing. Sarvajaya's left alone, struggling, desperate.
Cracks start showing.
They do, more arguments. And then that really painful point, Durga being accused of stealing that necklace.
Even though she denies it.
Right. Mm-hmm. It brings so much shame on them. And Sarvajaya just overwhelmed. She beats Durga terribly. It's brutal. It shows that clash between their innocent world and the harsh social reality leaves a real scar.
And then comes the monsoon. And with it, the ultimate loss.
The monsoon season is devastating. Traps them in that leaky, crumbling house. And this is where we face the unbreakable loss. Durga, who loved the rain so much.
She did sick.
Yeah, a fever. No money for a doctor, no medicine. She just fades. It's harrowing. She dies during the storm. It's the book's shattering moment, just raw.
And Harihar returns.
He returns later, finally bringing gifts. The new sari he promised Durga. Only to find Sarvajaya silent with grief. The irony is just unbearable.
Crushing.
And then later Apu finds it. The necklace, hidden away.
The one she was accused of stealing.
Yeah, hidden in a coconut shell. And in that quiet moment, Apu understands his sister's innocence, her simple desires, the injustice. It's devastatingly powerful, that discovery.
That image just stays with you. And this loss, it pushes them to the final step, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Leaving.
Mm-hmm. It's the final blow. Durga's death breaks their connection to Nishindapur. Harihar, finally accepting defeat, decides they have to leave. It's the resolution and departure.
A departure born of grief.
And necessity. They pack up their few things, leaving generations of history behind. And as the cart pulls away, Apu looks back one last time at his childhood home.
A silent farewell.
Yeah. The song of the road isn't joyful anymore. It's somber. An escape, pushing them towards, well, towards the unknown future. The end of one chapter, the painful start of another.
So stepping back from the plot, what are the big ideas, the themes that Bandyupadhyay explores here that still feel so relevant, so powerful today?
Well, there are several, and they're woven together so skillfully. First, definitely poverty and human dignity. The book doesn't just show poverty as lack of stuff. It digs into the psychological side.
How it erodes self-respect, strains relationships.
Exactly. But crucially, it never completely destroys their essential humanity. It shows dignity can persist even when everything else is stripped away. That spark endures.
And through the kids, we get that intimate look at childhood and loss of innocence. It's like watching consciousness develop.
It really is. It suggests wisdom isn't about losing wonder, but integrating it with the harsh realities. They see with fresh eyes, finding magic even as things get dark. It's about resilience, perspective.
Nature, too, feels like more than just scenery. It's almost a character.
Oh, absolutely. Nature as a central character. It's both a refuge and a reflection of their lives.
Comforting one moment, destructive the next, like the monsoon.
Precisely. It offers solace in a quiet grove, but also brings devastation. It's this grand, indifferent force, beautiful and brutal, mirroring life's own rhythm.
Which connects to that overwhelming sense of the inevitability of loss and change, and how memory shapes who we are.
Yeah, the book shows loss isn't an end, but a transformation. Indira's death, Durga's death, leaving home life, moves on. But the echoes of what's lost define the path forward. Memory becomes this bittersweet guide.
And the road itself.
The road becomes the symbol of that constant forward movement of time.
Which brings us right back to the title, The Call of the Unknown, The Road. That idea feels central.
It is. The Song of the Road is more than just travel. It's about that human yearning for something more, something beyond what we know.
The train whistle again.
Exactly. It represents hope, maybe modernity, definitely exploration, and the necessity of moving forward, even if it starts from tragedy. It asks you, the reader, what's your song of the road?
That really makes you think, doesn't it? How do we balance our own desires with family, duty, just surviving? You feel that tension constantly in the book. And the way he tells the story contributes so much, that third person view, but so intimate. The symbolism, the house, the train, the necklace, the monsoon.
Symbolist.
And the sensory details. Plus that understatement. He doesn't spell out the emotion. He makes you feel it. That creates such empathy.
That's his genius.
Yeah.
It's not big dramatic shocks. It's the buildup of small moments. You get pulled into their world so completely. Their joys, their sorrows feel personal. It has this melancholy beauty.
Yeah, you feel the weight of this one family's small life, but it feels huge, universal, and the tragedies, especially Durga's death, hit so hard because you've come to know and love her spirit, her vibrancy.
Exactly. It feels personal because she was made so real.
So what's the lasting feeling then? What stays with you?
I think it's that sense of human resilience, that idea that wonder and joy aren't just for the privileged. They can be found anywhere, even in hardship, in observation and connection. Something fundamental survives.
Ultimately, Padmapanchali really stands as this incredible testament to the quiet dignity of the human spirit.
Yeah, reminding us that even when things seem darkest, amid sorrow and scarcity, our capacity for love, for wonder, and for the journey itself that endures, it makes you think about the wonders in your own life, perhaps, and what it means to just keep going.
This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.